Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, it is the PM team. It is an official counter-programming Thursday here on the PM team. Bob Pompeiani set to join us in 15 minutes. Ray Fittipaldo at 5:15 to talk a little Steelers. So one of the things I've been locked in on this week, because, one, it's sort of a sign that we're getting close to football season, and two, I like the way they're put together, are these ESPN rankings lists where they have gone through by position. I think they've done it for a couple of years now, but they've gone through by position and ranked the top 10 players at every spot on the field. So they've already done several of these. Defensive tackles out there, Cam Hayward was in the honorable mention category, so I think there's five honorable mentions after the top 10, so you get a sense he's a top 15 guy. T.J. Watt was second only to Myles Garrett among edge rushers, so that was probably to be expected. Maybe even some people pleasantly surprised that he was above Parsons, Nick Bosa, and only behind the reigning defensive player of the year. Minkah Fitzpatrick, after a year where he did not make the usual spate of plays expected from him as far as field-flipping turnovers, still fourth in safeties across all of the NFL. The one that I actually missed, believe it or not, of these, the one that I didn't see when it happened, was running back, which might be somewhat surprising because that's still a splashy position. It was the first one that ESPN did, which also surprised me because everybody knows that it's become a more and more devalued position in recent years, to the point where running backs are very rarely taken in the first round, and teams that do actually take them are kind of looked at with a side eye. Even Bijan Robinson, thought to be this unbelievable can't-miss prospect who can hurt you in every single way, he gets picked where he does, and people kind of cock an eyebrow and just say, really, is that what you want to do here? And so they had the running back ranking out. Najee Harris was not even in, he was not in the top 10. It was McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Nick Chubb, which I thought was surprising at number 3. They were kind of doing it almost on the, we hope this guy gets back to where he belongs in the pecking order here because he got hurt so badly. Barkley 4th, Jonathan Taylor 5th, Bijan Robinson 6th, Josh Jacobs 7th, Jahmyr Gibbs 8th, Derrick Henry 9th, and Travis Etienne 10th. Then it had Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker 3rd, Isaiah Pacheco, James Cook, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift. So that's 17 backs. Then you get to the also receiving votes category, and there you found Najee Harris's name. And that puts him squarely in the lower tier, the lower half of running backs in the NFL. And so what that got me to thinking about was this. One of the reasons I think most people are feeling at least some optimism about the Steelers' offense this year is simply that they went from, or they are going from, a coordinator who had absolutely no business whatsoever being in that position this high up in the football pecking order. There's only 32 of those jobs in the NFL, and Matt Canada had one. I think people are feeling somewhat optimistic because you're going from that guy to a person in Arthur Smith who, yes, is coming off of failure. He, like Russell Wilson, he, like Justin Fields, all three of these people are trying to come back from years that got them to this point where Pittsburgh was a destination. Fields was never good enough for the Bears to decide they wanted to trade the number one overall pick. They said, Caleb Williams, too tempting to pass up, got to take this guy. Russell Wilson is only on the Steelers and only playing for veteran minimum because the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton were so dead set, hell-bent on not having him be their quarterback anymore. They were willing to absorb a huge cap hit to send him to let him go and pick his next port of call. Arthur Smith is only the Steelers' offensive coordinator because, speaking of Bijan Robinson, he couldn't cut it as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. It didn't work with Desmond Ridder. He wasn't able to make maybe a middling quarterback prospect with some really good talent around him coalesce into one really good offense. They're all here because they failed in their last stop. But having said that about Arthur Smith, the reason people are optimistic is he is still light years better than Matt Canada. You're talking about a guy who failed as a head coach who only got the job as a head coach because he was good enough as an offensive coordinator. So there is the thought that this is going to be much better. But when I see Najee Harris get ranked where he was ranked in this ESPN scouts and coaches and executives poll of the top 10 running backs in the league, and I see him in the bottom half at 18 overall, it gives me serious pause about being too optimistic, about getting out over my skis, about how Arthur Smith's offense is actually going to function. For one reason, the guy that's number 9 on that list would have been number 1 with a bullet during his time in Tennessee, and that's Derrick Henry. And I think it's pretty obvious to everybody involved that the single major reason that Arthur Smith's offense worked so well was because he had an easy gold jacket guy as his running back for the best years there. Bottom line, there's a Ryan Tannehill rehabilitation story to tell, and Arthur Smith deserves credit for that. There's something to be said for a guy like Arthur Smith building it from the inside out, from the line out, and also, you know, caring about that part of the game, zigging when the league zagged, having good enough run schemes to take advantage of Derrick Henry, understanding that the smart move wasn't to keep splitting carries with Derrick Henry, but to let him carry the load for your team. Because remember, Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry were splitting carries. Very funny thing to think about. No disrespect, of course, to one of my favorite Pitt running backs of all time. Arthur Smith deserves credit for the things that happened there, but I think most people would come to the conclusion that that offense worked because it had an all-time running back doing most of the heavy lifting. Arthur Smith's hopefully not the same guy he was, who's going to approach the job with the same schemes and ideas that he had several years ago. You would hope that somebody that's still pretty young in the coaching profession in Arthur Smith, an overall young guy who wants to be a head coach again, you would think, isn't just going to keep throwing the same ideas at the wall and hoping they stick a little better. But I do think that when you're talking about Najee Harris being the feature back or the co-feature back compared to Derrick Henry, there is reason to be very skeptical that the Steelers' offense is going to look like those Tennessee teams did. It might not have to be that good to get them to the playoffs and maybe get a playoff win if they get decent Russell Wilson or good Russell Wilson. But the offense is supposed to be a running offense. The offense is supposed to be a physical offense. The offense is supposed to be one that dictates terms to the opposition. And they lack one key element, the running back, that made this offense so good when Arthur Smith first ran it. 412-928-9370. That is the fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Najee Harris, bottom half of the NFL, not in the top 10, not one of the 7 honorable mentions, bottom half NFL running back among starters. Does the Steelers' running back situation have you concerned at all about how Arthur Smith's offense might fare? 412-928-9370. Let's talk more about it a little bit. We'll also hear this the answer to this one from Bob Pompiani as he's set to join us next. First, here's Charlie Borges with a fan headline.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook on a counter-programming Thursday, it's the PM team. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob Pompiani, KDKA-TV, is on the other end of said hotline. Pomp, one, how are you, friend?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Chris?
I'm good. You didn't get any rain for that lawn, and I want to say I respect you for being stubborn just like me and refusing to water your lawn in this period of no rain.
Well, you know, if you do it, you're going to have to do it like every day for like 30 minutes. Who has the time? I don't have a sprinkler system or anything, so I'd have to do it manually. You miss more spots, and then it's, you know, some brown, some maybe a little greener, but then it's not even worth it because by the time September, October rolls around, you get a little rain, everything's back to normal.
And also, when you don't water it, you don't have to cut it as much, which I think is a huge thing that's underrated here. You kind of make less work for yourself on two different fronts there.
Yeah, but we always go through a stretch like this, it seems, once a year where it's just really dry and everything starts showing, you know, hay-like symptoms.
I'll start you off with something that's right in your wheelhouse in a place where the grass is almost always brown, but that doesn't mean bad things. It's kind of how it's supposed to be. I am a firm believer we need more than just the Scottish Open and then the Open Championship as far as big-time golf events that get played on the British Isles. I want to have at least one more event like this where everyone's got to schlep over there because I love watching that style of golf, Pomp.
Oh, I do too. I think it's fascinating because it encourages, you know, creative shot-making. If you're going to do it, you better know how to play and avoid. I still think one of the best things I've ever seen in an illustrious career for Tiger Woods is the fact that he played one of the Open Championships. I forget what course. It may have been Carnoustie. And he never hit one bunker for 72 holes. The whole tournament never got in the bunker.
That doesn't seem possible or like it should be possible, but I seem to remember that one as well. By the way, Jim Nance the PGA Tour, somebody, or no, it was Trevor Immelman. They posted this on Instagram. Speaking of, like, playing creative shots, Jim Nance had the hybrid out from just off one of the greens, hit a nifty little bump and run to, like, 2 feet.
Good for him. You know, he was a college roommate of Freddie Couples down in Houston. So he has some game, although he's so busy that it's hard to maintain your game. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I can also attest to that.
You had two birdies at Oakmont. You have no problems.
Come on, I still got problems. I shot 101 with those two birdies, Pomp. That's the definition of having problems.
No, that's okay. It happens. That's Oakmont.
Bob Pompiani joining us right now on the PM team. So I was just asking, I was just kind of throwing this out there to the listeners. ESPN, I don't know if you've seen it, they've been doing these top 10 by position rankings. They had Najee Harris outside of the top 17, and this is scouts, executives, and coaches ranking the top 10 at each position. So running backs. Not only was Harris not in the top 10, he did not make the honorable mention category. He was only in that others receiving votes, which actually for this thing put him at 18th at best in the league, maybe lower. And I thought about that, Pomp, and that didn't really surprise me as far as where he was rated, but then it did get me thinking about the idea of having big optimism for Arthur Smith's offense because so much of it's predicated around the running back being great. When Derrick Henry was obviously in his prime, they were pretty tough to stop, but that's not what you have here with the Harris-Warren combination.
No, I think it's great. I think Arthur Smith is, you know, given what he's normally done, this is a perfect fit, at least it is philosophically. A lot of this is obviously predicated on how their offensive line does, how their blocking schemes are, and what these guys can do. But if you do that, certainly you're going to make life a little easier for quarterbacks, at least you should. But I think Jaylen Warren, he has gradually moved up year after year after year, and he still has that burst that I think is really spectacular. When he gets the ball, there is no hesitation at all. You know, it's a good 1-2 punch, quite frankly, Chris, because they do different things. Although Warren can be physical when he has to, but he's quicker to the outside. He doesn't hesitate. Najee Harris can wear you down a little bit. So in theory, that's a pretty good. If you're going to look at strengths of a team, that would be one of the strengths of this Steeler team going into the season, because they still have other areas that I think need a little upgrading.
If you could read their minds, who do you think they would prefer gets more carries this year, Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris?
I would probably think it's going to be Warren slightly. He is, I mean, you know, the pendulum has swung in his direction quite a bit over the last couple of years. And at first, you know, Mike Thomas' philosophy has always been, you know, running the wheels off of a player in the running back spot. But I think he realized the way, you know, Harris is, that you got to take some of the pressure off that. And in came a guy like Warren, who just, you know, captured the training camp by storm that year. And he got gradual work. Now he's getting more and more work. So I would expect him to be a real force in the pass game, too. I think you're going to see more, you know, evolution of his game. And I think this year will be the year.
Do we see Pat Freiermuth break out this year in an offense that we know, if it's known for something other than power running, is involving the tight ends?
I hope so. They need that. That's one of those guys who I think they counted on. I think it's a big year for him. You know, they may give him a deal beforehand. They may not. I don't know how that's going to work out with some of the other stuff they have. So I think this is a huge year for him. I think he's treated it as such. I've seen him. I know he's worked at it in the off season. So you got to target the guy, though, too. But that could be good and bad when you know, Pickens may be in an opportunity to get doubled a lot unless things change there. And so he could be, you know, the next choice as far as targets are concerned. I hope he is, because I think he has a lot more to give than what we see.
Bob, this is technically a counter-programming Thursday, and by that I mean the Pirates right now are on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Paul Skeens is dealing, and so normally I wouldn't even bring up the Pirates. In fact, I almost did a joke today where I just didn't name Paul Skeens once during the show. But I will ask you this. Jim Bowden in The Athletic, former GM himself, did kind of his ranking of what he's hearing that each team in Major League Baseball is doing a couple weeks out from the deadline. This is quickly what he said about the Pirates. He wrote, General Manager Ben Cherington's been texting up a storm with opposing GMs, searching for ways to improve his team's offense. The Pirates are not expected to make a huge splash, but they are committed to upgrading their offense in multiple spots in the infield and outfield. Your read on that kind of analysis, do you think that is accurate right now?
Well, I think Jim Bowden, I've known him for a long time, Chris. I think does a really good job in that role when he was here with Sid Thrift way back in the way as assistant GM, and he got his opportunity to be a GM. You know, he's pretty good and thorough about how he does his work. So if he's hearing that, or you know, if that's what's going on, I think there's truth to it. Now, that doesn't mean it results in anything. I think it's, you know, if you ask these guys truthfully at the end of any baseball season, all the GMs I'm talking about, how many deals could you have made, you know, might you have made, if the truth would be, well, and there's so many came close, so. But they need it because, again, we're seeing Skeens today. Not that I'm trying to counter-program you, but 4 innings, 9 strikeouts, hasn't given up a hit yet. If you get performances like that, and when Falter comes back and when Jones comes back, and they will, I hope, sometime this season, given what some of these other people, you know, can do, like Keller and hopefully Priester and Ortiz, why, you got to do it. You're still very close to that last wild card, and given the strength of this team, which is their starting pitching, you can do well in those best-of-three series, and you need bats, though. There's no question. Again, today, nothing. Last night, nothing. After 12. So they go 14, 2-2 in the last series, 12, none so far. So it needs help, no question. And I would suspect it's going to be outfield help. That would be the easiest thing for me to see them get.
Bob, big story from the Penguins today. It's now Coca-Cola will be served at PPG Paints Arena. Royal Crown, RC Cola on the way out. Your thoughts to this seismic move?
Well, they've had RC for a lot of years, man. I'm a little surprised by that, but, you know, it's all business. Whoever comes up with a better deal, and obviously, did you say it was Pepsi?
No, it's Coke. Coke products
now.
Coke.
Okay, well, then, you know, I don't know. I try to stay away from soft drinks best I can. You know, you get older and these things start adding up, the sugar intake. Got to watch. So try to do water and walk a lot and try to hit the fairway and not the rough. Although I get more calorie relief out of the rough and the sand, so maybe I should do that more. I do it already.
Well,
I don't need to do it.
I actually try to hit bad shots so that I walk further around the course to get more of my steps in, Bob. I notice the better I play, the lower that step count is. Did you know Charlie Borges, producing today, knows the exact date of the last time he had pop? He has it down to a date, December 30th, 2023.
Why is that a significant day, Charlie? I mean, what did you just decide? That's it? I'm not doing it anymore? What was your reasoning?
I didn't like the way that I felt, so I felt cutting out soda was the right step in the health world, so I took it, and that was the last day I had one.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because you feel bloated after that kind of stuff. Not that I'm trying to go against any advertising that we have here.
But, 30 years old, though. He's 30 years old, Bob, and he's already that conscientious. He's on the right track, I think.
He's definitely on the right track, yep, indeed.
Bob, last one. Tyler Kennedy challenged me to a round of golf at Neville Wood one of these days in the near future. TK index 13.2, Malzi index 14.3. Who do you give the edge to?
Well, he has the local knowledge of being up there, so he knows the golf course very well. That's always big for me. But, you know, I think you'll rise up to the occasion. You know, you can talk some smack with him because he may talk some smack with you.
Oh, he's going to chirp. Those hockey players always chirp very well. He'll get in my head immediately.
Yeah, and you got to watch now. He may lull you into a false sense of good putts. In other words, he may start you off on one and two with, oh, yeah, pick it up, that's good. Three and four, pick it up. And then all of a sudden the match is tight, you go to eight, and his lockjaw sets in. He doesn't say anything. And he makes you putt something you haven't putted all day.
Ugh. Yeah.
So I give the edge to him only because he knows the golf course, but I wouldn't be surprised if he result in a way.
Yeah, I know. The people are going to be against me too. They're going to be rooting for TK, but that's all right. I'm better when I'm the natural villain here, Bob. Thank you as always. Are we talking again tonight, or is it me and Richie on the sports call?
Yeah, no, it's me tonight. So 10:35, Ireland contracting that with sports call. Look forward to it, Chris. Thanks.
Talk to you then, Bob. Thank you.
All right.
Bob Pompeiani. As we're chewing the fat right now, counter-programming Thursday, we're doing our best here, but I think for the second time in a row where this has been the situation, very interesting developments in the Pirates game. You'll hear about those a little bit, at least, from Charlie Borges coming up here in a second. I'll tell you right now, you can always follow us on Twitter for all sorts of fun updates, at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. What would Pony and Muller do? A couple new submissions to that very popular recurring segment coming up next, including one that when I read it, I thought this is a classic, and it's also something that could be an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And we'll debate it, the proper etiquette in a particular situation. What would Pony and Muller do next? Here's Charlie Borges with the Fan Headline. A golf minute in 45 minutes, an unpleasant realization that has just kind of been, it's like one of those slow onset things that I want to talk about in 20 minutes for me. Like, you ever have the thing where you feel like you're getting sick, but you know you're not sick at that moment in time, but you kind of say, like, I say this to my wife all the time, I'm like, I think I'm getting sick. I'm not sick right now, but give me like 12 hours and I'll be sick. I'm having that sort of feeling, that slow motion drip right now. About one particular sports sort of story, if you want to call it that, in Pittsburgh. So we'll get to both of those things in the very near future on this counter-programming Thursday. Right now, though, classic of counter-programming would be, of course, what would Pony and Muller do? The hit segment sweeping the nation. And we've got two candidates here, Charlie Borges. Two what would Pony and Muller do candidates. First one. Submission, they write in, said the following. I work in an office building, person says, where there are two sets of doors to get in the building. So there's a little, like, anteroom, if you want to call it that. It's a door, a set of doors. You walk inside for about 6 feet, another set of doors, and then you walk in further. I think that's, would you say, Borges, that's probably pretty common in most places? Like, a lot of office buildings have something to that effect, right?
Oh, still with, yeah.
You with me here?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. So a person says, was walking in the door the other day. Person was walking back into the building and noticed me, held the door for me. I said, thank you. Person then held the second door for me, kind of because he was already on his way. I sort of half muttered thank you, but don't even know if he heard it, or if he heard it, he knew what I was saying. Guys, do I even need to say thank you the second time, or for two doors within 6 feet, is one thank you enough to show your appreciation for somebody's politeness? Your thoughts?
I would say just thank you again, or just not even. It's either or. As long as there's one thank you on the table, you're showing your gratitude for the first door opening. I think that just covers it again. It's like when somebody sneezes more than twice in one sneeze session. All it takes is one bless you, and you should be covered.
See, my read on this is that it has very, and the person did not specify how the door holder reacted to sort of the muttered, like, they said the first one crystal clear, second one they just kind of described it to me as, in their writing of it, as, yeah, I just sort of grunted at them. I think the person holding the door is the person who matters here, because I could see this being on Curb Your Enthusiasm, where Larry David holds a door for somebody, person says thank you, Larry David holds the second door for somebody, person doesn't really say thank you, and Larry kind of looks at him weird, or person holds door for Larry, Larry says thank you, person holds door for Larry, the second time Larry says nothing, person looks at Larry all weird, and he gets very strange about it. This is a tough one, but I think I'm going to plant my flag on this. I really think if somebody holds both doors for you and they're that close together, I think you only owe them one thank you. I think you did the perfect thing with the sneeze. At some point, somebody keeps sneezing and you go, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. It becomes annoying to be the person saying bless you there. It almost makes them feel stupid for sneezing, I think.
It's gotten to the point where there's somebody in my family who sneezes. It's like 6 or 7. After the first one, I'll say bless you. They'll sneeze again. I'll say bless you. And then after the second one, I will literally say you're on your own and not acknowledge them the rest of the time if they ever sneeze again.
I only do this for like immediate family members, basically. I don't even think I would do it as a joke for my in-laws. Maybe one of my brothers-in-law or sister-in-law. Not my father-in-law or mother-in-law. But if somebody does that same thing, if they sneeze once, I'm like, bless you. If they sneeze twice, bless you again. If they sneeze a third time, I go, shut up. Like, just a very sharp, shut up. It's not meant to be mean. They know I'm just kidding around, but that's basically how I feel about it. But I can imagine being in the door situation today and just feeling very awkward. Because I think, like, there's oftentimes somebody won't even say something if you hold it the first time, but you don't ever want to be known as the person that's not showing gratitude. And you definitely don't want the person to feel like you're ignoring them and their kind gesture twice in a row. All right, that's one of them. Here's the second one. This is like a very basic etiquette question. Pony and Muller, I'm headed to a restaurant, party of 15. Do I need to call in advance to the restaurant to let them know that a large party is coming through? This was a strange one because my first thought was, isn't the automatic move here to get a reservation? Because if you get a reservation for 15, the restaurant automatically knows that there's a party of 15 coming here. So you take care of all of this. So my question would be, is there no reservations at this place? This was like an incomplete info thing. Let's say there's a party of 15 going, Charlie, to a reservation-free restaurant, like kind of a bar-restaurant hybrid, a big enough restaurant but also a bar area. What would you do if they didn't take reservations and you had 15 coming?
Well, as a bartender myself, I would say to them, well, you got to like give us a heads up because we – what if we don't have enough staff to prepare? Like, if you come in as a walk-in, as a 15, without any sort of heads-up whatsoever, what if there's only one person working the bar? What if there's only one cook? I would say, like, if you have a party of larger than 8,
mm-hmm.
I would call ahead and say, I have this many people. Can you fit us in tonight as a walk-in if mm-hmm. this place doesn't accept reservations?
But otherwise, if they do accept reservations, it's automatic. Like that's why yes. This question struck me as weird. Like, 15 people, I would just think that's what God invented the humble reservation for, because that lets everybody know on both ends of the equation, we're coming at this time. You can expect us. There are 15 of us. Thank you very much.
You would have to have a reservation for that. I mean, if the, especially if the place does take reservations, they would know how many people to put on staff. Like if, oh, we have a party of 15 coming in as a reservation, we know to put one bartender, one server, or one bartender, two servers for the other people that are coming in for the traffic flow.
Speaking as a bartender here, because I never bartended, but I think bartenders are generally some of the coolest people on earth, other than like a customer being outright rude. Like, so I'm talking, you know, outside of they're smashing glasses, they're cussing you out, whatever. What is like the biggest pet peeve, customer pet peeve you have as far as the way people sometimes behave where maybe they don't realize they're being annoying to you, the bartender, but they are being annoying?
There's way too many. Like, there's one that always makes me laugh. Whenever somebody comes in and I'm busy, and I'm very clearly busy, like running around, pouring drinks, seating people, because at the bar that I work at, I'm not only the bartender, I'm sometimes the bartender, the server, and the host that I sit okay. people. So I'll clearly be busy, and a guy would come in and would say, can I have X beer? Don't worry, I'll take care of you. When somebody says, I'll take care of you, as tipping-wise, I know for a fact I am not going to be taken care of. Like, if somebody says, oh, I'm going to take care of you, don't worry, you take care of me, I'll take care of you. The bill's going to be $50, I'm going to get a dollar if I'm lucky.
Oh, when man.
So don't ever say, I'll take care of you, because if you say that, it already tips the server, an experienced one anyway, you're not going to get taken care of.
If you've got to say that you're going to take care of somebody, you can be counted on to be very tight-fisted.
Pretty much.
See,
also,
that's
stupid
one where
questions.
That's one where I just try to, I wait patiently if I see that you're that busy, and maybe pay with the first one with cash and pay with obviously too much cash and tell you to keep the change, and then we've established a rapport, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm more than okay with, if somebody puts a 20 down at the bar and just says, I'll take a Miller Lite or whatever, I can just take the cash out, put it on the bar, and as long as that cash is there on the bar, it's not going to be another step for me to say, do you want to start a tab? Do you want to do cash? Just leave the cash on the bar. I'll take care of it. Or when you first sit down at the bar, start me a tab. I'll take whatever beer.
Man, I think the other thing I don't like, just as a last thought on this bar pet peeve, the I'll take care of you guy, is I think they're saying it to try to make themselves seem like a real cool guy. Like, hell, look at me. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. That's a real jackass move. I got to be honest. I thought you were going to go with something other than that, but that one ticks me off now that I've heard you actually say it.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. I could run through all the stupid questions I've ever been asked that are pet peeves. That'll be 3 hours.
Yeah, we don't have time for that, unfortunately. I don't have the heart to make you go through that kind of process.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.